Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, I went with our middle schoolers from North Decatur on the Presbytery Middle School retreat at the Calvin Center, and we had the best time. It was a lot of fun. It was my first time ever going to an event that was created just for middle schoolers, just for people in that 6th through 8th grade age range. And I was really amazed at how intentional the leadership was in cultivating an environment that was just right for middle schoolers. I learned a lot that weekend. Working with youth is totally new to me. But what I took home the most from that weekend was the retreat's theme, which was created to belong. Throughout the retreat, we talked together about how God has created us to belong, both to God and to one another. It felt like a really particularly appropriate theme for a middle school retreat. I remember feeling a lot during my middle school years, wondering, do I fit in with this group? Do I not fit in with that group? But I also found that the retreat's theme really spoke to me as a 24-year-old in seminary. My seminary friends who were with me that weekend with their youth felt the same way. Somehow, this idea that God has created us to belong was especially fresh for us that weekend. This idea of belonging, it's pretty countercultural. All you have to do is check your Twitter feed or turn on the evening news to see all the ways in which humans are creating patterns of unbelonging, of exclusion and hatred and violence that tears apart communities and relationships. People and groups of people are pitted against one another in our national and global discourse, and it seems like we often define our way of belonging more according to who we do not invite to our tables rather than those who we do invite. As Sam reminded us in his sermon last week, this is not how we were created to live. God created us to cultivate communities of belonging in which everyone is invited to the table. And not only does everyone have a seat at the table, but everyone has a voice at the table. Just as I learned alongside our middle schoolers a few weeks ago, God created us to belong, and belonging means everyone belongs, that everyone is known and loved as a beloved child of God. This gospel story that we listen to today, this back and forth between Jesus and Pilate, also has a whole lot to do with belonging. This story comes towards the end of the 4th gospel. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and healing and enacting miracles, and by this point in the narrative, he's also been attracting the attention of a lot of really powerful people. Judas has betrayed Jesus by leading the authorities to him. Peter has denied knowing Jesus twice, and now Jesus is led to Pilate. This is a climactic moment in the fourth gospel, and throughout John, we hear Jesus cryptically foreshadowing these moments all over the place, so that once these scenes of betrayal and arrest happen, we're kind of ready for them. We've been waiting. Listen one more time to how this scene happens. And this time, listen especially for the places where Jesus and Pilate are really talking about this theme of belonging. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Did you hear it this time? This whole conversation circles around the question of belonging. To what kingdom does Jesus belong? And by implication, to what kingdom do his followers, that's us, belong? Pilate is really eager to find out to what community, group, nation, kingdom, republic Jesus is truly loyal. The first question he asks here, "Are you the king of the Jews?" gets at this discussion of allegiance, of belonging. For Jesus to be the king of the Jews is for Jesus to be in an overt position of rebellion against the Roman Empire. This would merit sedition charges worthy of serious punishment. For Jesus to be the king of the Jews is for Jesus to reject any allegiance to the empire and its established order. This is a big deal. There's a lot going on underneath this text. So as he sometimes does, Jesus evades the question. "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate, in effect, washing his hands of the matter, says, "Well, I'm not a Jewish person, but your people handed you over, so you must have done something." But Jesus is still interested in this kingdom question, which is at its root a question about belonging. He says that his kingdom is not from this world. His allegiance does not belong to any of the groups that Pilate is interested in. The Roman Empire, the religious hierarchy, none of that. Jesus' sense of belonging and the sense of belonging into which we are implicated is only to the truth. Republican or Democrat, Presbyterian or Baptist, immigrant or one of us. Finding our identities represented in a group can be a really wonderful thing. It can be a source of support and community for us. I majored in pipe organ in college, and so whenever we were in a keyboard class, the question of identity was organ or piano. And the way you answered meant a lot about who you were. But when our identity gets so wrapped up in being part of a group, or being accepted into a community, that we begin to measure our thoughts and actions and way of living against some standard created by these allegiances, our desire for belonging has become a bit distorted. In college, I took a class on the works of C.S. Lewis, and we read this really wonderful sermon of his about this desire that we have for belonging. He talks about this phenomenon that's present within the human condition where we're constantly striving to be part of this inner ring in the various parts of our lives. We want to be part of the in crowd. We want to be where the action is, where the cool kids are, where the smartest or prettiest or most successful people are hanging out. We want to be in an inner ring. And once we're inside of the inner ring, we want to make sure that other people can't get in too easily. We want to keep other people out. It can happen in pretty innocuous ways. It's not always blatant, but this is very central to this desire that we have to be in a position of belonging. And it's when that desire gets distorted that we run into issues. It reminds us of this conversation between Jesus and Pilate, of these incessant questions about kingship, whether or not Jesus is a king. Jesus is clear that his kingdom is not from this world, that his sense of belonging isn't grounded in any earthly institution or allegiance. Rather, Jesus and his followers belong to the truth, whatever that means. Have you ever been in a situation, especially maybe when you were a student or if you're a student right now, where you're sitting in class and a supervisor or a boss or a professor is talking about something and you're not really sure what's going on? You look around, everyone's eyes are kind of glazed over, and you're pretty sure you're not the only one who doesn't know what's happening, but you're kind of too afraid to raise your hand and ask. Have you ever been in that position? So then some brave soul raises their hand and is like, "What on earth is going on? I don't know what you're talking about." Pilate is that guy in this text. He finally asks that question that we're all wondering, right? What is truth? What is Jesus talking about? And why does he keep evading that question of kingship? Are you or aren't you? And what is truth? So what I'd like for us to explore today is, what if Pilate's question isn't quite right? He's almost there. But what if the real question is, who is truth? Not what is truth, but who is truth? What if in Jesus Christ himself, we have the very model, the very embodiment of what it means to belong to a true kingdom? The kind of kingdom that looks nothing like the ones that we know in this world, but a kingdom of belonging and inclusion, of unconditional welcome and abundant grace and mercy for all. This is a true kingdom. This is the truth which Jesus embodies in the world and to which we are all to belong. It's not what is truth, it's who is truth. And the answer is Jesus. Today's a day in the liturgical calendar that many Christians mark as Christ the King Sunday. We've reached the end of the liturgical year, and we're thinking on this day about what it might mean to call Jesus King. I'll be honest and say that I'm not always a huge fan of this King title. I try to avoid names for God and Jesus that evoke Christianity's history of institutionalized patriarchy, and this is definitely one of them. When we latch onto images and thoughts of Jesus as king, even as a benevolent kind of ruler, we start to imagine Jesus as someone who pursues power and money and dominance over the other, rather than the person we actually know Jesus to be. Metaphors are tricky and profoundly formational in that way, and it's helpful to have a broad set of words and images that we use to describe God. But just for this moment, I'd like for us to entertain the possibility that calling Christ King can actually be quite liberative. When we call Christ King, we have officially redefined the terms. Jesus looks nothing like the kings and rulers and authorities that we know from history and from our present day. Jesus operates entirely outside the norms set up by the empire, whether it's the Roman Empire or the numerous institutions in 2018 that act like empires. Where empires seek dominance, Jesus deconstructs dominance. Where empires seek power, Jesus resists power. Where empires create structures of exclusion, Jesus creates inclusive community. Where empires perpetuate patterns and cycles of violence, Jesus reverses those patterns. Where empires exploit our desires for belonging, Jesus orders those desires. To call Jesus king is to flip our notions of kingship and empire upside down. To call Jesus king is to come face to face with the ways in which our own experiences of community and belonging fall short of the truth made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. To call Jesus King is to call us into action on behalf of those whom Jesus would invite to his table, to this table. At Christ's table, our desires for belonging are fulfilled, as all are welcomed in as beloved children of God, beautiful in God's sight. We get a foretaste of that table, of that banquet to end all banquets, when we gather here for worship. Here we are called by God to gather in gratitude and to taste God's goodness in song and scripture and prayer and sacrament. But here we are also challenged to keep expanding our tables of welcome, to keep resisting that impulse to exclude and to exert dominance over the other, to keep cultivating communities of belonging everywhere that we go. When we call Jesus King, we are being clear about where our allegiances lie. To be certain, the fourth gospel shows us that Jesus is so much more than a king. Jesus is the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, the good shepherd, the way and the truth and the life. But yes, Jesus belongs to a kingdom, and it's not a kingdom from this world. It's a kingdom of truth, the very truth made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. Here at North Decatur, we will explore during the weeks of Advent what it means to be at home. As we enter that season next week, how might we spend time in the coming days thinking about how we are or are not at home with the kingdom of God, this kingdom constituted by truth and belonging and mutuality? How might we become more at home in our allegiances to God's reign of justice and peace? These are the questions that are leading me forth into this new season, and I hope that you will journey with me. Amen.